The opening notes of the music that heralded the 7 o'clock news reached Harry's ears, and his stomach turned over. Perhaps tonight, after a month of waiting, would be the night. Record numbers of stranded holidaymakers fill airports as the Spanish baggage handlers' strike reaches its second week.
Give him a lifelong siesta, I would, snarled Uncle Vernon over the end of the newsreader's sentence, but no matter.
Outside in the flower bed, Harry's stomach seemed to unclench. If anything had happened, it would surely have been the first item on the news. Death and destruction were more important than stranded holidaymakers. He let out a long, slow breath and stared up at the brilliant blue sky. Every day this summer had been the same. The tension, the expectation, the temporary relief, and then mounting tension again. And always growing more insistent all the time, the question of why nothing had happened yet. He kept listening just in case there was some small clue, not recognized for what it really was by the Muggles, an unexplained disappearance, perhaps, or some strange accident. But the baggage handler's strike was followed by news on the drought in the southeast.
I hope he's listening next door, bellowed Uncle Vernon, with his sprinklers on at 3 in the morning.
Then a helicopter that had almost crashed in a field in Surrey. Then a famous actress's divorce from her famous husband.
As if we're interested in their sordid affairs,
sniffed Aunt Petunia, who had followed the case obsessively in every magazine she could lay her bony hands on. Harry closed his eyes against the now blazing evening sky, as the newsreader said.
And finally, Bungie the Budgie has found a novel way of keeping cool this summer. Bungie, who lives at the Five Feathers in Barnsley, has learnt to water ski. Mary Dawkins went to find out more.
Harry opened his eyes again. If they had reached water skiing budgerigars, there was nothing else worth hearing. He rolled cautiously onto his front and raised himself onto his knees and elbows, preparing to crawl out from under the window. He had moved about 2 inches when several things happened in very quick succession. A loud, echoing crack broke the sleepy silence like a gunshot. A cat streaked out from under a parked car and flew out of sight. A shriek, a bellowed oath, and the sound of breaking china came from the Dursleys' living room, and as though Harry had been waiting for this signal, he jumped to his feet, at the same time pulling from the waistband of his jeans a thin wooden wand, as if he were unsheathing a sword. But before he could draw himself up to full height, the top of his head collided with the Dursleys' open window, and the resultant crash made Aunt Petunia scream even louder. Harry felt as if his head had been split in two. Eyes streaming, he swayed, trying to focus on the street and spot the source of the noise. But he had barely staggered upright again when 2 large purple hands reached through the open window and closed tightly around his throat.
Put it away,
Uncle Vernon snarled into Harry's ear.
Now, before anyone sees. Get off me,
Harry gasped. For a few seconds they struggled. Harry pulling at his uncle's sausage-like fingers with his left hand, his right maintaining a firm grip on his raised wand. Then, as the pain in the top of Harry's head gave a particularly nasty throb, Uncle Vernon yelped and released Harry as though he had received an electric shock. Some invisible force seemed to have surged through his nephew, making him impossible to hold. Panting, Harry fell forward over the hydrangea bush, straightened up and stared around. There was no sign of what had caused the loud cracking noise, but there were several faces peering through various nearby windows. Harry stuffed his wand hastily back into his jeans and tried to look innocent.
Lovely evening,
shouted Uncle Vernon, waving at Mrs. Number 7, who was glaring from behind her net curtains.
Did you hear that car backfire just now? Gave Petunia and me quite a turn.
He continued to grin in a horrible, manic way until all the curious neighbours had disappeared from their various windows. Then the grin became a grimace of rage as he beckoned Harry back toward him.